question. When I say Holy Spirit, or when you read Holy Spirit, what are the ideas that come into your heads? What do you think of when you hear the word Holy Spirit? Be honest. Be honest. What are your ideas? Third person of the Trinity. Thanks, Bruce. Yep. Sorry, Rosie?
He lives in every believer.
He lives in every believer. And Edna? One who comforts us, yes.
One who empowers us,
yep. Now, what about the people? Sorry? Spirit of the Lord Jesus himself, yep. Someone you can't see, but you sort of know, yep. Ones who are a bit too shy. Friend, great.
Guide.
Oh, nice, yeah. What else have we got?
Encourager,
counselor,
teacher.
Someone who loves us, yeah. That always is encouraging, isn't it? Have you ever gone into, back when you went into school, and you had a teacher there and you didn't know who they were? But when they smiled at you, you sort of felt, okay. When you came in and they said, right, you're going to really be miserable in this class, and they had this horrible scowl on their face and they called you by the wrong name, it didn't fill you with much encouragement, did it? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the living God. We're going to talk a little bit more about who the Spirit is, because we can get confused by the Spirit. But to help us understand more about the Holy Spirit, our New City Catechism divides the subject into two: the person and the work. And today we're going to explore his person. We're going to explore why sometimes there's a little bit of confusion or a little bit of uncertainty. For those of you who haven't spoken, who are uncertain, don't worry, you're not alone. Today we're exploring his person. Next week we explore the work. And we'll come on to that in a moment. But for now, let me read what Jesus said briefly about the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John. Jesus was on his last night as one who walked on the earth before he rose from the dead. It's the night that he was going to be betrayed, the night he'd just broken bread and wine shared wine with the disciples. It's the night he was going to be betrayed, he was going to be arrested, and he was going to be flogged and crucified. This is what Jesus was teaching his disciples. In John 14, starting at verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. He says counselor, that's great. To be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Just listen to that last line, especially right now. You know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. Now, don't put your hands up, but do we know the Holy Spirit? Do you know? Some will say, yep, I'm with you. Some will say, I'm not sure. Some will say, no, I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about. But today, I'm encouraging you to know that part of God, that fullness of God, that is the Holy Trinity. Jesus is saying here, I'm giving you something, someone, forgive me, special, personal, someone who will be with you, dwelling with you. Someone we're not aware of all the time, but someone who is always there. Something the Spirit of the living God does is he molds us teaches us and counsels us. And we're going to sing a chorus now, a song, short song, together, which speaks of the Spirit of the living God and what he does. And I want you to use it as a meditation from what Jesus has just said. This is a counselor who will guide you in truth, a counselor who will be with you. And this is our request of him today. Can we have the lineup? Thank you. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Maybe you've never known the Holy Spirit. So maybe you need a refreshment of the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's for the first time. But then these words here, melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. This is the imagery of a potter, isn't it? With clay, melting the clay, getting it soft and pliable, molding the clay, making it something that is useful, something that is beautiful. Fill me. So it's not something that's left empty. How many of you feel empty in your walk with the Lord? How many feel empty in your life and in your faith? How many times do you feel it and you need to cry, fill me, use me? And when it says use, we're not talking about in a negative way. We're talking about being useful to the Master, about being used in the sense of God has given me a gift and he wants me to use it and he will enable me to use it. Some of the confusion we get when we come to something like the Holy Spirit is the expression, first of all. We probably grew up with something like Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit. Many of us will have heard of that, and we think, well, what's a ghost got to do with the Spirit? How many of you heard of the Christmas Carol? Many of you. Scrooge gets visited by three ghosts or spirits, depending on your interpretation. So ghost and spirit was actually used interchangeably a long time ago. But this day and age, ghost isn't exactly the most helpful word to use because of our cultural understanding of ghost or spirit. So spirit is more useful, but even spirit can be misunderstood because there is the sheer amount of spiritual programs, spiritual books, books about your spirit and your inner nature. We're not talking about that kind of spirit. We're talking about a personal person who is with you, speaking to you through the spirit-inspired word of God. In one sense, you could say the word of God is spirit-breathed, God-breathed. And therefore, the Holy Spirit is intrinsic with who God is. So you want to know about the Holy Spirit, look to Jesus. If you want to know about the Holy Spirit, look at what God says about his Spirit in the Word. Second, the various beliefs around the Holy Spirit get confusing. We've got different views from Pentecostalism, those of you who know what that is, through to maybe evangelicalism or whatever other big long words we can think of today. There's lots of various beliefs about who the Holy Spirit is. Now, the exploration of the Spirit is really important. But we can't get too het up on what different denominations say. We should rather get het up on what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. Let's start with Jesus and the word he's given us. So this morning, our question is, what do we believe about the Holy Spirit? Shall we answer that together? That he is God, co-eternal with the Father and the Son, and that God grants him irrevocably to all who believe. It's a nice long word. I think the person who wrote this liked long words. They're showing off a bit. That's all right. God gives his Holy Spirit to all who believe. The Holy Spirit is with, co-eternal, forever, with the Father and the Son. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And we've got our passage there, which we're going to look at a bit more closely now. What do we believe about the Holy Spirit? And here are some very important words that Jesus uses. The first word there I'm going to pick up on advocate a little bit later, is the Spirit of Truth. the Spirit of truth. Now, the important thing here is that it's about truth. It's not about something ambiguous. It's not something about something strange and weird we don't know. The Spirit will tell us the truth. He will guide us in truth. So this is something we should be able to agree on about Jesus Christ. We're watching God's Not Dead 3 yesterday, and in that, the pastor of a church is asked, what is truth? And he says, Jesus. Jesus is the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. So the Spirit of truth is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's the Spirit that will point us to Jesus. Then we have this: the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Now, this gives us another encouragement about the Holy Spirit. There's lots of ideas in the world about what the Holy Spirit is. But unless the world, who is commenting on the Holy Spirit, has a personal relationship with him, they cannot comment. They cannot say, well, the Holy Spirit is this mythological being. The Holy Spirit is someone personal because he comes from Christ. And because Christ gives him directly. The world cannot know him because it neither sees him. As we already said, the Holy Spirit is invisible. We can't see him. That's what makes it a bit more confusing a topic. We have to trust in Jesus to believe that there is a Holy Spirit. The world not knowing him suggests the personal experience required. It's not the same, it's not some spiritual state outside of Jesus Christ. This Spirit is personal and comes from the Father as requested by the Son. And this brings me back to that first word that I mentioned just now, advocate. I will give you another advocate. The reason why that is very, very important is because an advocate is someone who counsels you, fights for you, encourages you, is with you. Is Jesus with us physically? Is he sitting here physically in our presence?
No.
Not physically. But in the Spirit, he is here amongst us. The Spirit illuminates Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus knew his disciples would soon be without him. They wouldn't see him. But I'm going to give you another advocate. One who is the Spirit of truth to help you and be with you forever. And what did Jesus say about himself? I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. How is he going to do that? So the Spirit should illuminate Christ in our hearts. Now I'm going to come a little bit more to the inhabitation, the indwelling of the Spirit and of Christ and the Father in our hearts in a moment. What we are told here, though, is that the Spirit is someone personal, and he lives with us, and he will be in us, and he will be from Jesus Christ. I want to take us to a different passage for a little while. In the book of Corinthians, Paul writes about the body. He uses the body as an illustration for the church. But here he's speaking of your actual body. He says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroy God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple. Note there, God's Spirit dwells in you. When you knock on someone's door, how do you know if someone's home? They should answer it, but sometimes they don't. Exactly. Sometimes the lights are on, but no one's home. It's not that with the Holy Spirit. You see, often we might think to ourselves, do I really have the Holy Spirit? Do I know the Holy Spirit? But you see, if you have confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you have asked him to be your Lord and Savior, he gives you his Holy Spirit. And if you are not aware of that Spirit, then ask now. Say, Lord, I want to know your Holy Spirit. I want to know what it's like to walk in the power of your Spirit. I want to know what it's like to be having the Spirit dwelling in my midst, because apparently I am God's temple. That says something about you as a person. Do you see yourself as God's temple? We often see the church building as the temple of God. The temple of God is his people. And the cornerstone of that temple is Jesus Christ. If we're using the image of a body, we make up the parts, but he is the head. Later on in chapter 6, Paul goes on to say, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, who you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Listen to these two together. You are God's temple. God's Spirit dwells in your midst. You are temples of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit are one and the same. God dwells in you. Have you taken time to reflect on that today? As part of your walk with God, God is dwelling with us. I may not be able to touch him and shake his hand and say, you know, good to meet you. But he is in my heart today. He is affirming the truth of his word. He is witnessing and convicting and encouraging. He is the advocate who, when you are under attack, is fighting for you. In Romans, do you know what it says about the Holy Spirit? It says, though we know not what ought we to pray for, the Holy Spirit groans in inexpressible words. The Holy Spirit is a person who is groaning for you. You know, often I look at the young people at school and I see how much they are bullied online, and it's just appalling to me to see that. And even with people who say, you know, this is who you are, they listen to the voices online rather than their own parents or their own brothers and sisters. Often we listen to the words of the world because we can see it. But what is there to see? Lies, deception, anger. We were watching again yesterday the words of climate activist Greta Thunberg, and I wept. I'll tell you why I wept. Because all she said was fear, hate, and unforgiveness. She basically condemned the world, saying, we will never forgive you if you don't sort this out. Hold the world to ransom, school strikes, and various other things. The Holy Spirit could technically hold the world to ransom and say, how dare you blaspheme God's name every day? How dare you sin every day and sin against the Holy Spirit? How dare you treat your body that way? How dare you use your words that way? Do you know what the Holy Spirit says? The Holy Spirit says, look at him who died for you. You were bought at a price. Jesus Christ said, do you know how much I love you? I give my life for you. You are my friends and I love you. And I want you to know me so intimately and purely. The Holy Spirit reminds us that God is about forgiveness and love and reconciliation. Do you have forgiveness, love, and reconciliation in your heart today? To be indwelt with the Spirit is to be inhabited by God. When Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will live with believers, we can almost link it to some verses he says in chapter 15, where he says, I will abide in you and my Father will abide in you. The Holy Spirit illuminates the love and work of Christ leading us to the Father God. The three in one, working in different ways to one goal, relationship. Relationship. If you want to win people over, don't do it with fear. Do it with relationship and love. In chapter 14, verse 23 of John's Gospel, Jesus says that he and the Father will make their home in the believer, just as the Holy Spirit dwells in the life of the believer. So essentially, the believer has the divine living in them. This is the divinity of the Spirit of God. This is the personality of the Spirit of God. Most religions will teach you that you have to achieve the divine, or it's not achievable, by some sort of work, practice, meditation. But God says, I will give you my Holy Spirit freely. Maybe we need to pray that today. Maybe we need to pray that into our lives. Jesus, you say your Spirit abides in me. I may not feel it. Help me feel it. Help me know it. Maybe you've said, yes, I know the Spirit of truth. I believe in the Holy Spirit, but I don't have a relationship. Then seek that relationship today. How? Well, you'll be glad to know the Holy Spirit makes the first move. Let's come back to this passage later on in John chapter 16. Jesus says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Those of you who remember John Calvin, he emphasized that the Holy Spirit gave an internal witness that was exempt from anything outside. It was something that was personal and private. The world couldn't tell the Holy Spirit what to say or do. No church institution, no human individual. Everything has to come from Scripture. For Calvin, the testimony of the Spirit superseded human revelation. The Spirit illuminates Scripture and doesn't teach anything different. He does not contradict the Word of God. So once again, as we read about the Spirit, what does he say? Well, first of all, he guides you in all truth. That's what we need. We need guides in this life, don't we? We've got life coaches, we've got doctors, we've got counselors, we've got gym coaches to tell you how to use the equipment properly. How many of you have ever been to a gym? Oh, there you are. Graham, you go to the gym. Did you listen to your gym coach first? Telling you what you should use, and yeah, did you? And you ignored him. That's fine. Yeah, me too. I went to the gym once, and the guy, after patronizing me and condescending me the entire time, said, "Now let me take your date of birth." And he found out I wasn't 16, but I was 26. Thought I was a teenager. I must have looked young. Thank you, Ed. But here's the thing. Do we get guided? Or do we try to guide the Spirit? Do we try to tell the Spirit what to do? Do we try and tell God what to do and what to believe? Well, God, I think you should be pro this or pro that. God says, I am who I am, not I will be who you say I will be. So the gentleness of the Spirit is here, just here. He is the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all the truth. Who do we say the truth is? Jesus Christ. He will guide you into Christ. It's all part of the same. Same Trinity, that same relationship. Not only will he guide us, but he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And what does he hear? Oops. He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Nothing new in the sense of opposed to Scripture. He will reveal things, as in perhaps what is to come. He will give you instinct or direction. He will give you the gift of prophecy, of wisdom, of teaching. He will teach you these things. He will guide you. He will enable you. But most importantly, what he will do is unpack Jesus Christ in our lives. You want to say, I want to walk with Jesus? Holy Spirit, make me know Jesus in that way. Do you want to live the way Jesus lived? You want to live as well as Jesus Christ? Well, all the best with that, but we should persevere to that. Then it's Holy Spirit, enable me to do that. Give me the gifting and the power to be able to love and to have patience, particularly patience, Lord. Restrain me from speaking before I should. Restrain me from acting before I should. And that takes time to learn, friends. Don't beat yourself up when you make mistakes or when you do something you shouldn't have done. Remember that God is merciful and you have a high priest who is at the Father's right hand. That's why Jesus is interceding for us. And you have the Holy Spirit groaning with words inexpressible. He's your helper, your advocate. Isn't that nice? Even if you do something wrong, you have an advocate alongside trying to help you get back on the right track. Forgiveness. New life. Refreshing. Let's make a list. Let's take 3 points away with us this morning. The first one is this, from John 14:26, this passage we've read. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Advocate here is another word which means one who comes alongside. One who comes alongside you. How many of you are feeling like you have no one alongside you? Don't raise your hands, okay, personally, privately. How many of you feel like you are alone in your faith? Or alone in your walk? Holy Spirit, fall afresh on me. Holy Spirit, make yourself known that you are by my side today. Pray, ask God to make the Holy Spirit, in a sense, spiritually visible to you. He will send in my name and will teach you all things and will, and this is the most wonderful word there, remind you of everything I have said to you. How were the disciples going to remember everything, to write it down into the Gospels and into the letters and what Jesus said? The Holy Spirit helped and guided and breathed through Scripture. We need help remembering. We're a forgetful species. Yes. Oh, good. I'm glad we agree on one point. We're forgetful. How can we remind ourselves? The first place to come is God's Word. Just read those verses that encourage you. Maybe read this verse over and over. Holy Spirit, you've been sent in the Father. You've been sent in the name of Jesus Christ. You are going to teach me. Lord, teach me this morning. That's a dangerous thing to say. Do you ever go to school and say, teacher, teach me? Oh, I mean, teacher would say, yes, finally. Teach me. Remind me of everything you have said. Remind me of your words. Now, what was that word? I'm the vine, you're the branches. I'm the true vine, my Father's the gardener. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Make me more fruitful, Lord, this week. May the Holy Spirit teach me, admonish me, guide me. The Holy Spirit is active in your life, teaching you, guiding you. The next one is a chapter later, same verse, 15:26. When the Advocate comes, another same phrase, the one who comes alongside, when he comes, whom I will send to you from the Father. Did you see what he did there? In 14:26, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. 15:26, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father. Father, Spirit, Son, working together. The Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Are you in those places where you are just assuaged with emotion, maybe depression, feeling, Lord, I can't think of anything right now. I can't read my Bible. I can't even pray. I'm feeling so lost. I'm feeling so confused. Holy Spirit, testify in my life this morning. Testify in my life tonight as I can't sleep. Testify that Jesus is my Lord and he's risen from the dead. Testify in my heart that you love me, that your son, he died for me. Testify in my heart that all who believe and call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In that time when we're in the hospital waiting for our next appointment, when we get the prayer chain about someone who's going through a tough time, pray this prayer. Lord, may your spirit of truth go out to that person and be that stronghold, that advocate. I'm not saying it'll make things easy, but he holds on to you as God holds on to the Son. And then there's this last one, and it brings us back to this idea that Jesus may not be physically here, but actually, you know what? He makes his physical presence known through the Holy Spirit, that he can be with us, in a sense, physically, because when we take communion, the bread and the wine, it represents the physicality of Christ. It doesn't become, but it represents as if we're receiving from Christ himself. And this is what John 16, verse 7 says. But truly I tell you, it is good that I am going away. Now can you imagine the disciples, they love Jesus, they're teaching. He's saying, hey guys, I'm going and it's a good thing. You know, they'd be like, are you crazy? It's not good. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus always intended for us to live with the Holy Spirit as one who would illuminate Jesus Christ. We were told that Jesus would go away, but the advocate would come. This was part of the plan of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, who is he? He is God. Where is he? He is in the heart and life of every believer. How can I know him? I need to speak to him as if he were in the room. Not as if. He is in the room. God is dwelling in our midst. How can I know him? He makes himself known. Holy Spirit, make yourself known in my life today. Let me read these words from Romans 8. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for all the saints, all the believers, in accordance with God's will.